Over on page 82, there's the doctrine of God. I'll give you a chance to get there. You'll notice in the statements, like under doctrine of God, you see it says a little A there, and then it says the claim. And then over later on, down at the bottom of the next page, it says B, and it says refuted. And the refuted is, we refute it with the Bible, the Word of God. Okay, and you'll find that over and over in these pages, that what they claim, A is what they claim, the Mormons claim, okay? And in page 82, says, consider the following quotations by the founder of Mormonism. He said, in the beginning, the head of the gods called a council. Now listen to this, the head of the gods called a council of the gods. And they came together and concocted a plan to create the world and people in it. Now these come from the teachings of Joseph Smith, okay? And he says in the next one there, he says, God himself was once as we are and is an exalted man. I guess the reason I want to stress this, I mean, we sit here and we think how foolish, how stupid. But they get people to believe this. And look what they do to God Almighty. They bring him down to nothing more than man, an exalted man. You see, and this is the basis of Mormonism and their belief, you see. And then he says there in the next statement, he says, when our father Adam, now listen to this, see, he has taken this as Adam is their father. And he says, Adam came in the Garden of Eden, he came into it with a cholesterol body. That word cholesterol means a heavenly body, belonging or relating to heaven. So Adam came with a cholesterol body and brought Eve, one of his wives, with him. Isn't this foolish? Isn't this silly? This is what Mormonism believes, see. And he helped to make and organize this world. He is Michael, the archangel, the ancients of days, about whom holy men have written and spoken. He is our Father and our God and the only God with whom we have to do. See again, it's just so foolish and so silly. We wonder how in the world would people believe this? Well, they don't believe the Bible. They're not. They get this extra teachings. They get the Book of Mormons. They get all of these things, and they begin to believe those things. You see, they're taught that rather than believe what the Bible says, because it's completely against what the Bible says, as we'll see. But he says, remember that God, our heavenly Father, that's in the second paragraph there, right before where it says note, was perhaps once a child and mortal like us ourselves, and rose step by step in the scale of progress, in the school of advancement, has moved forward and overcome until he has achieved or arrived at the point where he now is. And boy, you're all sitting and shaking your heads and the foolishness of it. It is silly, isn't it? See, God was once a child. No, and we'll talk about this, but you know what? God has always been. Never has been a time when God has not been. And he's the great God, the good God, the wonderful God, the powerful God. He's everything. And they're demoting him down. You see, that's what cults and false religions do. They demote God down to mankind, being likened unto mankind. Now look down. We're going to go ahead and skip on down. This is where it says refuted. And this, of course, what the Bible says. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:4, there's only one true God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You believe that? Amen. We believe that, don't we? That's the Bible, see. That's what it says. And in number 2 there, it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You can't understand that. If your mind tries to comprehend the fact that God has always been, it's a difficult thing to do, because everything around us, we think of beginning and ending and all of those things. But God has always been, everlasting to everlasting. Isn't that wonderful? That's a great God, you see. And so just keep that. There's only one God, and he's from everlasting to everlasting. Then he says in Isaiah 43, he says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Once again, just refuted by the Word of God, saying there's only one Savior, there's only one God. Amen. And then in Isaiah 44, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." And once again, you know, I think it's good for us to remember the truth of the Bible, the Word of God, and remember that these people are dispensing all of these lies. There's Mormon tabernacles, I guess, as they call them, all scattered across this land. Multitudes, they're increasing. And in fact, some of the information in the beginning of this talks about the increase of Mormonism, you see. Again, I only just want to say to you folks, we do have to stand against lies. We have to present the truth, get the truth out to people, you see. I think it was Mrs. Alley was telling me when I preached on Islam's God the other day, I'm talking about Allah. She came out the door and she said, you know, they was over visiting sometime back in the summer, I think you indicated, back in the summer, and they was talking with these people, and she was studying the Quran. We think sometimes that those things are off somewhere else, but folks, they're around us. I just heard the other day there was a Baptist person who is a Baptist. I just got this information that is a Baptist, and I'm going to go see them. Has been allowing the Mormons to come in and to teach them. I don't even understand this kind of thing, but it's, you know, these are lies of the devil. And did you realize, whether you understand it or not, I don't understand it, but a lot of your Mormons and your Jehovah Witness sometimes are ex-Baptists. It's the truth. And that is shame, but it's true. And I believe what is happening is, and that's we're in churches where these people are not getting grounded in the Word of God, and maybe not even saved. If they believe the teachings of the Mormon, they're not even saved, but they've been ex-Baptists. Folks, we got to ground our people in the Word of God. People, you need to be grounded. You know, when a Mormon comes to your door, you know enough. I believe this morning, these people here, you know enough to say, get on down the road. Because you know what? That's a false cult. That's wickedness at its greatest. And we need to stand and be prepared. But there is people all over that's inviting them into their homes and letting them teach. See, it's sad, but it's happening, you see. So we need to realize that the truth of the Bible is there is only one God, and that's our great God the Father, and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the one true God. Amen. All right, and then he says number 5, he says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Tell me, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Am not I the Lord, and there is no God else besides me? A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. We know that there is none else, no other God but God. And then down to talking about the virgin birth, again, here is some things that they claim concerning the virgin birth. This stuff is blasphemous. The things they say is downright blasphemous. You see, but here's what it says. From the above identification definition of God as glorified man, we are informed of the Mormons' view of the virgin birth as stated by Brigham Young. Brigham Young was one who took over after Joseph Smith was killed, and he was killed. He was put in jail, and 200 people, a mob of 200 people came, got him out of jail and killed him and someone else. Along with him, and when the time come that his firstborn, the Savior, should come into the world and take a tabernacle, a body, the Father came himself and favored that spirit with a tabernacle instead of letting any other man do it. And note, he says here, from this we are to understand that the glorified man God of this world fathered the Savior. Now, you're going to find out in here but that they even look to Adam as the one that is the father of the Savior. Adam is the one who became resurrected and glorified and became the father of the Savior. These are foolish things, and I can't even understand how people can believe them, but they do. But in on down it says, Brigham Young further stated, he, Christ, was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. Jesus, our elder brother, was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in Garden of Eden, which is Adam, and who is our Father in heaven. You see, they say he wasn't begotten of the Holy Ghost. Now, I know all these things are just false teachings, but I want you to understand, this is serious business. These people are running around on the streets of America, and they've been in Jasonville, and they've been other places. I think I told you about the day that the Moonites came here, and I stopped outside of town out here and picked up the Moonite. And I didn't know who he was, but I got him in the car, and we began to talk about things, and I asked him if he believes in Jesus, and he said, oh, yes, I believe in Jesus. I said, is he the only Savior? That's basically what I come in on. And he said, well, no. He said, he's a Savior. And, you know, Mr. Moon's supposed to be a Savior and all those kind of things. And I stopped and let him out of the car and didn't take him into, you know, because that's scriptural. You know, you don't take him anywhere. I let him out of the car, and he walked into Jasonville, and so I came up and stood beside him up here at IGA. And when everybody come out and he tried to talk to them, I'd tell him who he was, and he was a Moonite, and he was a false prophet. And so I just stood there beside him, and finally he headed on out of town somewhere. I don't know where he went. But I'm just simply saying is, I think there has to be times we stand, we make sure we expose this foolishness, because people can get caught up in it. There's a lot of people out there looking for an answer. And these people like this sometimes come along and they think that is the answer, you see. And so we've got to understand the seriousness of it. And of course, it's refuted here in B there on page 85. It says Luke, first chapter, 35th verse, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. There's no doubt who came upon Mary. The Bible says the Holy Spirit did. And if you'll notice in the next verse, Matthew 1, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. When Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You see, there's no doubt what the Bible says about it. Amen. You know, we believe the Bible, don't we? We just believe the Bible, and all this other foolishness is silly. It says in, the note there says, as to a resurrection and glorified Father of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, it is necessary that there be a death in order for a resurrection to be possible. Where in all the record on earth that and in heaven is it written that God the Father ever died? See, they say that God the Father, not God the Son, is the Father of Jesus, and he had to die because he was a resurrected Father. Like, and that's why they believe that Adam was the one. He was resurrected, and he was the great Father. And so it's so silly. I don't hate to talk about it. But anyway, look at salvation and judgment. Brigham Young wrote, some of our own old traditions teach us that a man guilty of atrocious and murderous acts may savingly repent on the scaffold, and upon his execution will hear the expression, bless God. He has gone to heaven to be crowned in glory through the all-redeeming merits of Christ the Lord. Listen to what he says. Well, this is all nonsense. Such a character will never see heaven. We'll talk about it in a minute, but let me read the other. It said, there is not a man or woman who violates the covenants made with their God that will not be required to pay the debt. the blood of Jesus will never wipe them out. Your own blood must atone for it. Boy, how foolish. You understand the silliness of this, but folks, listen, they reject the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as the payment for the sin of all the world. You and I know that there is absolutely nothing else that can wash away our sin. I don't know about how you feel this morning, but he talked about here someone who can put their faith and trust in Christ and be ready for heaven. They said it was nonsense. I know every one of us here this morning are grateful that we, sinners as we are, can be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and brought, made ready for heaven. That's the only way it is. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to pay for my sins. Aren't you? Aren't you? You want to look back? You want to think about it? Aren't you glad you don't have to pay for your sins? I sure am. Don't have to pay for my sins because of Jesus. And that's it. It's the only way. The only way of heaven is Jesus Christ. And here they blaspheme. When it comes to salvation, they blaspheme Jesus Christ here, and that his blood could not wash away sin. And in fact, the next page, he says a little note there, and I had read something about this on Mormonism. It says the capital punishment was performed by firing squad in Mormon areas due to the belief that the shed blood atones for the individual sins. These people, sometimes they would give capital punishment by shooting them and thinking that shed blood, their own shed blood, would pay for their sins. And again, all I can say is foolishness and silliness, and I know you feel that this morning, but it's very silly. It says the claim, the Mormon doctrine of salvation involves not only faith in Christ, but baptism by immersion, obedience to the teaching of the Mormon Church, good works, and keeping the commandments of God, which will cleanse away the stain of sin. Oh, thank God for the Bible, the Word of God. That's what we do next here, and refuted that through the Bible, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, I'm so grateful, aren't you, that it's by God's mercy that he saved us. You see, that's what the Bible says, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, they don't believe the Bible. I don't even know truly if the Mormons, do they use the Bible any? Do they use their own? Do they use the Bible some? They use the King James Version. And yet they'll take this and take verses like this, and what do they do with them? I mean, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm just saying, what do they do with them? I don't understand how you can read the Bible, read these wonderful verses, and say things like they've said up here in their claim that it takes all those things to get saved. And then in Romans 6:23, the gift of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Luke 23rd chapter, it says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I've always thought about that thief on the cross. I think it's a good illustration, a good point to make that there's no way in the world that man could have ever been saved by works. He's on a cross, and he was nailed on that cross, and he was going to die, and he couldn't even get baptized. And yet Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You see, he wasn't even baptized. He didn't do any good works whatsoever. All he done is just exhibited faith in Jesus Christ, who was hanging on the cross beside him, you see. And if these works salvation people, what did this man do for works? Was he baptized? You know, there's a lot of people, even in the Christian areas here, believe that you must be baptized to be saved. Christian Church believes that. Church of Christ believes that. Some of the others believe that. It's through baptism that you finish your salvation. But that man was not, and yet he was going to be in heaven. He was going to be in paradise with Jesus that day, you see. Well, no, it's all by the grace of God. See, that's the way we get saved, by the wonderful grace of God. And then on Hebrews, it says, But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of the bulls, of the goats, and the ashes, and of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, and for this cause be, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also be necessity be the death of the tester. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. See, without the shedding of blood, and that blood had to be the blood of Jesus Christ, the only one that could take care of it, the only one can wash away our sins. So anyway, and under the note there, just do a little bit there, the Mormon belief in the preexistence of the soul in heaven prior to physical birth is the basis for saying that everyone is a son of God. See, they believe everyone's a son of God. And they believe because of that, it's because there's a preexistence. You've always been somewhere. And he says, believing in God, being baptized, doing good works, and keeping the commandments then allows one to continue to be a son of God. Now, Brigham Young taught that John 1:12 really says, but as many as received them, to them gave he power to continue to be the sons of God. See, it's always the changing of the Bible, changing of the Word of God. Jehovah's Witness does that. They came up with their own Bible finally. They had so many problems with the King James Version of the Bible that refuted so many things that they believed. They finally come up and they changed their Bible, made it the way they wanted it to be. And that's what cults do. They just make the Bible say whatever they want it to say. Then also the universal salvation. We find, it said, their claim is, Mormon doctor teaches that none will be lost, thus no eternal suffering in hell. This usually goes along with just about every cult. I don't really know of a cult that believes there is a hell. They get around that somewhere and try to not teach that hell exists. It says the Mormon, Mr. Evans, a Mormon apostle, stated, Mormons believe in universal salvation, that all will be saved, but each in his own order. So they believe everybody is going to be saved, but some of them is going to get a better deal than others. And the Mormons are going to get the best deal. They're going to be in the better place. They're going to be in the cholesterol body. They believe in cholesterol body and cholesterol body. And the Mormons are going to be the ones with this cholesterol body. And they've got the best deal. There's other ones then who won't get quite as good a deal. I'm just simply saying how foolish it is. I believe with all of my heart that anybody who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ is going to enter into the kingdom of God. It's going to enter into heaven, be there forever and ever and ever. And it'll be up to God to do with us after he gets there what he wants to. I know there's rewards. I know there's all those things. But I don't believe there's a person on the face of the earth that's born again that won't have the joy of heaven. It'll be sweet. It'll be wonderful. And there's a reason for the rewards, and we'll let God take care of all that business. But I want to tell you something. If I'm going to heaven, if I'm the least in heaven, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be joyful. Someone told me the other day, he said, oh, Brother Ross, said, I don't have much on this earth. I just don't have much whatsoever on this earth. And said, I hope in heaven I have just a nice place. They was probably thinking of things a little bit earthly. And they said, I hope I just have a nice place. And I said, you don't have to worry about it. In my Father's house are many mansions. And that's why he went to prepare a place for us. Amen. You're not going to have to worry about having a nice place. It's going to be a wonderful, precious place. I don't know all about it. Don't know all what's going to go on. But all I know is this. Every person knows Christ is going to have the joy of heaven. Amen. It's going to be great to be there. It'll be a wonderful thing, you see. And so anyway, that's their idea of things. You know, they think everybody is going to be saved, but some just going to get a little better deal than others are going to get. Romans 9:8 says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. In Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you get to be a saved person and a child of God. Universal salvation, I'm sorry, I skipped back up there above it, but universal salvation, down in the last paragraph, said this belief in is the basis for proxy baptism for the dead, cholesterol marriage, and etc., to supposedly benefit relatives and others to advance them to their level so that they might be together in eternity. You see, they believe in baptizing for the dead. They believe that there's going to be cholesterol marriages. There are going to be marriages made in heaven. You see, and all these things. But all of these things are contrary to the Bible. And that's what he does next with refuting in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says in Matthew 25, he says, then shall ye say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. And once again, you see, there's going to be those that's not saved. Folks not going to be saved. That's why we soul win. That's why we go out and tell people about Christ. We was out yesterday and talking to people about Christ, telling them about Christ. Why do you do that, Brother Ross? Because if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. It's just it. If you don't tell them, you don't tell them the truth, they're going to go to hell. You see, they're responsible after they hear, but they've got to hear. They've got to be told. We got to get the truth out. Mormons are getting their false things out. We got to get the truth out. Amen. Folks, we got to get it out. You just got to go out and tell them. That's what you got to do. That's the word of God. You just do it. Say, Brother Ross, does everybody get saved? Of course not. But you got to tell them. You just got to get out and tell them. Amen. I want to encourage you. You need to get out and tell them. Amen. Just need to tell them. Tell them what the truth is. See, and Jesus is the way. See, because there's going to be those that are not going to be saved. I was concerned, I think the Lord laid on my heart, concerned about my neighbors. And I've been going up and down the roads there and out by my house and talking to them, trying to tell them about Christ. Because you know what, I live out there. And I don't believe God, I believe God will hold me accountable to talk to them, present the gospel, and get it to them. Amen? Amen. I just believe that with all my heart. That's why I go. Amen. That's why I go. Revelations, the 21st chapter says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't know what's in your heart. I really don't. I know that my heart is this. When I read verses of scripture like this, I know there is a hell. And I know that anybody that is not saved is going to go there. Now, I believe that with all my heart. I just believe the Bible. Don't you? I mean, you believe the Bible. You believe that. And there's no doubt in my mind every person sitting here believes that. That's truth of the Bible, Word of God. That ought to keep you motivated. It just ought to help motivate you. Just realize that those people who don't know are going to end up in hell. That's just all there is to it. It's the truth of the Word of God. And we need to be motivated to the fact that we need to get this truth out, you see. We need to do that. All right, and then down it says celestial kingdom, claim is, if one accepts the gospel and keeps the various ordinances, celestial heaven may be obtained. In the afterlife, there are three kingdoms, the celestial, the terrestrial, and the telestial. Those who keep the ordinance of the gospel receive the celestial kingdom. Boy, this is so silly. The secondary kingdom is for those good people whose lives are commendable but who do not accept the Mormon doctrine. Now, I guess we would fall in that, amen? We don't accept the Mormon doctrine. We try to live good because of Christ and all of that, you see. And that terrestrial is retaining to the earth and an inhabitant of the earth. And evidently, we're going to get to live on the earth here. See, now the other one's going to get to live up in heaven, have a celestial. See, these are the things they're telling you. And then it goes on and on. It progresses. You know, you progress. You can't get into a higher one after you got in one. You can't get into a lower after you got in one. Some of this stuff is so silly. But that's what they teach. And they keep control of you that way. Do you know, it is dangerous. And I want to just say this even to the people who teach the fact that you can lose your salvation. Sometimes that is used as a control over people. The Pentecostals are good at that. They preach that you can lose your salvation. Well, you need to be in church here. You need to do this. You need to do that. Well, I preach you need to be in church, but not because you're going to lose your salvation. Amen. You ought to be in church because you love God. You ought to be here. But they teach that. You can be lost, you know, and then saved again and lost. That's a blasphemous teaching. That's horrible. I mean, that's blasphemous. To say that Jesus Christ could lose you or me. That is terrible. That's a terrible teaching. And we just kind of take it as, well, that's the way they believe. No, that's a blasphemous teaching. That Jesus Christ could lose me is horrible. He can't lose me. He's a son of God. He's a keeper of my soul and yours also. And of course he says, and refuted there is no reference in Scripture to man's dwelling in any but the third heaven. I'm not going to go ahead and read that, but just the fact that we just, there's a place in heaven for us. God's prepared a place. He prepared a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared in heaven, sent down. In order for these spirits to have access to the celestial kingdom, they must have a body, go through an earthly probation, and prove themselves worthy of gaining the kingdom. Providing bodies for these bodiless spirits becomes an important work for the faithful Mormons. To some extent, this is why Mormons' families are traditional large and why the Latter-day Saints leadership have gone on record opposing birth control and abortion. Well, you hear them oppose those things. Well, they're right in doing so, but they have a reason for it. It says to give a body home to a homeless spirit is a good deed. At times, this has also been used as one of the rationales for the practice of polygamy. And what they're simply saying is there's all these spirits out there, and they already pre-exist. And they're just waiting for someone to have a child, a body, so they can get into it. How foolish. How silly. But that's what they believe. All right, let's just real quickly, we're about done in time here. The next one over in Genesis says, man was created from dust, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We know that God created us, and I know there's not a person in this room tonight or this morning that doesn't understand that and believe that. You believe the Bible. But just don't take so lightly the fact that there's these false prophets out here teaching. And do our best to get the truth of the Word of God into their hearts. That's our responsibility. Give the truth. Amen. Give the truth that people can be saved. Brother James. All right, Brother Wayne Allhauser is not here, and again, has a lot of health problems. Let's pray for him. And also, Don and Debbie Davis is not here. Need to pray for Don and David and Debbie to be faithful in Sunday school, and we love them, and they're good folk. And they may show up at church. They're very pretty faithful, but we'd sure love to have them in Sunday school. Eric and Esther Harrison, I do not know the situation there. Is anybody? Eric, he just got off work. Eric just got off work this morning. And Corin Renas, I've already told you about Corin Renas. So send him a card and let's pray for them. Father, thank you again today for your grace, your goodness. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Help us, O God, to spread it in Christ's name. Amen.